Lord. And he mentioned the book of Revelation. And he said the first half of the book of Revelation is how God deals with his people. And he said the second half of the book of Revelation tells how God's going to deal with those that hate him. I just snickered a little bit and said, amen. You go over to the book of Psalms, it talks about where David said, I hate those that hate you. And he starts talking about how there are people who stand against God. And I thought about this church, and you know, this church is a sanctuary. Amen. Now you say sanctuary, you say, well, I know it's a church building. I want to take it a little farther than that. It's a sanctuary. It's where you can come in from a world that seemingly is more and more and more hating God. And you can come in a place where the power of God is real. It still can be felt. Where the blood of Jesus Christ is preached. Without reservation. And you can have a place, because I still believe, like that song she sang, the blood, it's not lost its power. God has the ability to save. He has the ability to heal. He has the ability to do great things in people's lives. And Brother Tom told me we had two more saved at the jail this week, right? Amen. Praise God. Still seeing people saved the same way that it was when you went to church with your grandma. Now this morning, what I want to preach on, what I really believe God has laid on my heart, is out of Matthew chapter number 9. And I heard a preacher say one time, a senior preacher, a mature man, he said, I don't pick them, I just preach them as God sends them. And, you know, if we're listening to the Holy Spirit, that's the way it should be, right? I heard a preacher one time, he was preaching, he got up and he preached a message, and it was a message to everybody. And he come back the next morning, next Sunday, he preached the same thing. People said, well, that's peculiar. Next week, same thing. The fourth week, same thing. The deacons, they said, we're going to have to get with the preacher. We're going to have to get this figured out. They got with him and they said, why is it you just preaching the same thing over and over? He said, well, God's told me when y'all start doing that one, he'll give me another one. Amen. You know, I tell you what I want, and I mean this with all my heart. I want what God wants. I've come to the point in my life, just like I believe that preacher was preaching this week, it's futile for you and I to think that we got it figured out, to think that we can do it, to think it's about us. It's not about us, it's about him. And if you want your life to be the best life that it can be, here's what you need to do. You need to get right with God, you need to walk with God, and understand even that it's not going to be perfect. Wasn't perfect for Job. It's not going to be perfect for you and me, but I'd rather walk with Jesus than walk without him. That's why this is a sanctuary, because God has not changed. Now here's a message that I believe that God has laid on my heart. It's not about the second part of Revelation. But it's about the God who sees and the God who cares. We're not here this morning because we're haters of God. We're here this morning because we love God. We're here this morning because we recognize the importance of how important it is that we have God in our life and we have a relationship with him. And I love that song. I want to tell you, I loved every song that was sung this morning. And every song was appropriate, as Brother Keith has already said. You know, you lift up the name of Jesus. Then we talk about the blood. Then you talk about my help comes from the Lord. Folks, my help daily comes from the Lord. And I am so thankful that when he sees us, how he looks at us. Well, how does he look at us? Let's read this scripture. Matthew chapter number 9 and verse 35 through 38. It says this. It says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And I just want to make a couple of comments about those last two verses, and then we'll get into the message. Truly today, the harvest is plenteous. People need the Lord. Some people realize they need the Lord, but they won't surrender to Him. But the harvest is plenteous. The fields are white to harvest. And one thing I've noticed, and this is kind of the way it is in a walk with Christ. You know, the more we walk with Him, the older we get. And it's kind of like Paul. The closer Paul got to God, and you can read this in his writing, the more he saw himself as he was. That's why he said he was the chief of sinners. It wasn't because he was out living in the world, because he recognized how little he is in compared to a holy God. You know, sometimes that's the way it is when it's time, like it is right now, to elect deacons. What you'll find, the people that are willing to serve, that are willing to come, that are willing to contribute, sometimes is the most senior people that physically sometimes have less strength, but their heart is enlarged. And the reason their heart is enlarged is because God has dealt with that heart over the years and they've grown. They understand how important it is. They've seen people grow up. They've seen people move away. They've seen people leave this life till they get to the point that they say, I know I don't have the strength that I used to have, but I'm willing to do this. I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to serve God. You know why? Because I understand how important it is, especially as I approach the day that I'm going to cross that river, whether He comes for everybody or not. Amen. The fields are white to harvest. And I want to tell you something, folks. Don't wait till it's too late to serve God. Amen. Now let's go to the message. That's just a nugget, amen? Come on, what was Jesus doing? He was busy healing. You know, in the 32nd verse, you go back and you see He was casting out devils. In the 35th verse, He was teaching in the synagogues. He was preaching the kingdom of God. He was healing sicknesses, healing every disease. Now, you'd think He's doing all this stuff, and He's God, He's Jesus, and all of a sudden, here He is doing all these things, and all of a sudden, it's like He looked up and He sees. And in the 36th verse, it says, but when He saw the multitude, He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Now, what I want you to see in this scripture, as much as He was doing, you can be busy serving God. And Jesus was busy doing good, but when He saw them, it moved Him. And what I want you to understand is how it moved Jesus when He saw you. You say, well, who am I? You ever heard that song? Yeah. Who am I that a king would live and die for? Who am I that He would say, not mine, but thine, Lord? The answer I may never know, why He ever loved me so. Amen. So I ask myself this question, who am I? You see, when He saw the multitude, He was moved with compassion. And I believe when Jesus beheld us, that's everybody in this building this morning. I want you to understand how important you are to God. You mean something to Him. And I want to tell you, in this church, you're important. You're somebody. Everybody is somebody, and everybody is important. Amen. There are no big I's and little U's in the family of God. Amen. And when Jesus looked, He saw them, and He was moved with compassion. Now, here's something I want you to understand. As He looks at us, as He looks at you, and He looks at me, He knows exactly what we need. You see, the Scripture says in Proverbs chapter 5, verse 21, says, for the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and He pondereth all his goings. And what does that mean? I want you to know that you are on the mind of God. God is thinking about you. God cares about you. He cares about everything that you do. When you have trouble, He cares about it. When you're concerned, He cares about it. When you're burdened, He cares about it. When you're dealing with problems or situations in life, He cares about it. See, you're on His mind because I believe with all my heart He was moved with compassion, not when He saw an individual who's doing something special. The Scripture says He was moved with compassion when He saw the multitude. You see, here's what I want us to understand. When God looks at us, He sees my heart. And I want to give you a verse of Scripture, Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 3. It says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place beholding the evil and the good. See, you can't hide from God. Sometimes people think they're hiding. You can hide from one another. You can hide from your spouse. You can hide from your pastor. You can hide from your deacons. You can hide from your church. You can't hide from God. Y'all remember that song we used to sing about Santa Claus? He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows when you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. Now, I want to tell you something. That might have been pulled out of a Bible verse. Because the Santa Claus song is nothing but Proverbs 15:3 is nothing but the Santa Claus song with meat on it. What does that mean? God knows everything you're doing. You're not hiding from God. And when you're out away from Him, He knows that. And He knows what you're doing. And I want you to understand something. It hurts Him. It grieves Him. You know what it grieves Him like? It grieves Him like a parent that loves their kids enough to die for them. And the kids have been told, they've been cared for, they've been told the right way to go. And all of a sudden they go the wrong way. I'll tell you what mom and daddy do. They grieve. They say, God, why? I'm trying to serve you. Why is this happening? Have you ever thought about what Jesus might do as He stands before the Father? You know, I don't know what kind of conversation that Jesus and God the Father might have, but can you see Jesus saying, Father, I died for them. I went to the cross for them. I don't know why they're acting like that. I don't know why they won't just come. See, He sees, but here's what I want you to understand. When He sees you, He's not looking for something that He can catch you doing so that He can come with a stick or a whip. He's watching you because He loves you. And when He sees you and He sees you out in darkness and He sees you in trouble, what it does is it grieves the heart of God because He is moved with compassion when He sees you. See, Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know, sometimes we look at ourselves and we want to talk about what we've not done, all the things I've not even been involved in. Let's be real careful about that, because the Bible's very clear. If you're guilty of one sin, you're guilty of them all. And if we want to compare ourselves to something, let's compare ourselves to the holiness of God. You see, the truth is, the very best person in this congregation this morning would not want the events of your life broadcast on these screens. But based on what I read in the Word of God, He sees it. But here's the thing. He loves you anyway. You see, Romans 5:8 says this, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See, I'm glad that He still loves me. It's like the song we sang with the kids. It's right. Even when I'm bad, He still loves me. That's the way mamas are to their kids. That's the way daddies are to their kids. Folks, that's just an example. Only an example of how much God loves you. See, He sees our heart, and when my heart is heavy, Jesus sees me. You see, especially for a Christian, I believe when we get away from God, because of that relationship with God, you see, when you're born again, that means made alive spiritually, born into the family of God, and you get away from God, and you get away from Him, that makes your heart heavy. You might go out and do the things in the world. The Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season, but it makes your heart heavy. I want you to know God sees your heart, and what He wants to do is heal. He wants to bring you back into a right relationship with you. See, He's looking at you not to find something wrong with you, but He's looking at you because He cares for you and He has compassion. Sometimes to the extent that the words that we would even say when we pray don't describe the need. That's why the Scripture talks about the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered out of our mouth. I've seen people in times of extreme grief or trauma come to the altar and they're hurting so bad they don't even know how to pray, but they don't know anywhere to go but to God. Amen. Because He's their Father and they know it even when they don't understand. And the Bible teaches us that the Holy Spirit then speaks to God on our behalf. You see, He sees my heart, He sees my hurt. Sometimes pain is overwhelming. You say, well, it may be that for this one or maybe that for that one. You know, sometimes I've even heard people say, and we played a movie here a few weeks ago, and there was a line in it where there was one girl that had a rough life, and she looked at another little girl who she said, she's had everything. She's never done without anything. What could possibly be wrong in her life? Her father was full of wisdom, and he spoke up and he stopped her and he said this. He said, just because you don't see the tears doesn't mean that they've never cried. Amen. And the truth is, for whatever standpoint or whatever background you come in this building this morning, there's been a tear shed. Amen. You may not necessarily want people to see it, but God sees it. And I want to tell you something, God cares. That's what I want you to understand this morning. He sees and He cares. There's a story in 1 Kings chapter number 19. It's about Elijah, man of God, prophet, powerful man of God. The man who prayed and fire came down from heaven and it licked up the water pots that had been poured on the altar and ate the altar up and, you know, basically brought the people of God back to God away from worshiping Baal. But the woman came to him, Jezebel, and she said, tomorrow, about this time, your life is going to be like those false prophets. Here's a man that stood before 400 prophets of Baal, and one little wicked woman caused him to run off in the wilderness. And when he got over there in the wilderness, he left his servant, and he went into the wilderness, and he laid down under a juniper tree, and he said, I just wish that I could die. You say, well, that's awful. That's terrible. You know, the truth is, if we're honest, there's probably not a person in here that hadn't come to that point at some point in your life. And some people often, and unfortunately, and here's what I want you to understand, you don't have to live there. God can bring you out. Because He sees you when you're under the juniper tree. He sees you when you're to the point that you're at the end of yourself and you have nothing else to offer, and He cares for you. Here's what people say, well, that's a man of God, that's a preacher. I can't believe that he's got to that place. Any of you ever known a preacher that got in trouble? Oh, yeah. You ever known a deacon that got in trouble, or a choir leader, or a pianist that got in trouble? I want to tell you what they need. They need you to love them, they need grace, and they need to be brought out from under the juniper tree. Amen. Here's Elijah under the juniper tree. God sees him. Remember, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. He didn't look at him and say, get up from there, Elijah. Can't believe that after I've poured out the power of God yesterday on you. What does the Bible say he did? I'll tell you what the Bible does say. In the fifth verse of 1 Kings 19, it says, as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. And he looked and behold, there was a cake baked on cold and a cruse of water in his head. And he did eat and drink. And he didn't get up and run. So I'm ready to praise God. The angel has brought me food. No, I tell you what he did. He laid right back down. Went right back to sleep. You ever dealt with anybody in depression? If you've never been there, you don't understand what it's like when somebody curls up in a bed and you can't get them up and all you can do is go love them, put your arm around them. Sometimes that's all you need to do. You don't need to pretend like you understand everything everybody's going into and try to give them all the answers. Just show them the love of Christ. Amen. What it is, he laid right back down again. It says, and the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. And he arose and did eat and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights. Now the journey, the story goes on. But here's what I want you to understand. God knew it when he was under the juniper tree. God cared. You see, he sees our pain, he sees our fears, and he understands our fears. The fear of failure, the fear of the unknown, the fear of falling, and sometimes for some, even the fear of healing. Been walking this way so long, been struggling so long, I don't know what it's going to be like to have a different life. I tell you what, God will walk with you every step of the way. Sees our pain, sees our fears, sees our need. Knows what's going on in our life. And he also sees when I need hope. Now, I don't know what people do that don't have hope. Bible says hope deferred maketh the heart sick. It's a psychosomatic illness where the soul makes the body sick. You see, my hope comes from the Lord. In Psalms 33:8 says, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him and upon them that hope in his mercy. See, God knows that we need hope. And what he wants to do is reach down to give us hope. You say, you just don't understand what my struggle is. I don't have to, but God already knows. That's why the Holy Spirit, I believe this with all my heart. I'm nothing, and I know that I'm nothing, but I want to be willing to yield to God. That's why I believe he sends his Holy Spirit in his place, and God is already dealing with somebody's heart that knows you need to take a step and grab onto the hand of God and allow God to take you to a place that you've never been before. He sees our pain, he sees our hurt, and he sees when we need hope. And you say, I just don't know if I can do it. I want to tell you something. You can't do it by yourself. But until you reach out and take a hold of the hand of God, you'll never take the steps necessary to get you to the place that God wants you to be. See, he reaches down. And I don't know if you've ever been under a juniper tree, but I have. I've been under a juniper tree. I can remember a time in my life as a Christian, already called to preach, that I was going through some things that got me so upset emotionally. I can remember standing in front of a mirror, and I'm back in. I know it's hard to believe, but I had curly afro. He's seen the picture. I was standing in front of the mirror, and I would reach up, and the whole curl would come out. I wasn't sleeping day or night. I wasn't eating. Had rash broke out on my body. See, I was going through things I didn't want to be going through. And what the problem was with all of that is rather than just me surrendering to God, saying, God, I know I can't control it. I know I can't fix it. But I'm just going to say, Lord, whatever your will is. And when I come to that place, I tell you what happened in my life. I was already saved. Peace came. And I'll tell you, that's the most important thing you can have. What difference does it make? What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What does it mean if you've got houses and lands and cars and fields and even your heart's desire, the relationship that you want, if that relationship's not right with God, if you're not living right with God, if you're not serving God, I tell you what you're going to be if you're a Christian, you're going to be miserable. Amen. When I surrendered to God, peace came. See, I was under a juniper tree. Bible says this clearly, right? Unto whomsoever much is given, much will be required of him. I was a pastor's son. I grew up in the... My dad was the greatest man I've ever known in my life. But this was personal. It was between me and God. And it was time for me in my relationship with God to grow and to mature and to become the young man of God that God wanted me to be. Nobody could walk that path for me. Nobody could walk the path of Elijah for him. But he had to go over there, and God sent what? He sent an angel to feed him. He brought him water. And it wasn't enough the first time he laid down. God sent the angel again. I want to tell you something. This might be the second time God sent an angel to somebody. I want to tell you something else. It might be the 20th time. I talked to a man at a Celebrate Recovery conference one time, and as I stood there and talked to him, and I was kind of set back because I don't understand all this stuff. You know, and I ask God sometimes, why you put me in Celebrate Recovery? I've never taken a drug in my life. It ain't all about drugs.
That's right.
And I talked to this man. He said, I've been in recovery program 26 times. Bible says this, for us to forgive is unto what? Not seven times, but what does it say? 70 times seven. What's the point? Here's what I want you to understand. As long as you've got breath in your lungs, the grace of God can still be poured out on you. And God still cares for you. And if you're in the sound of my voice this morning, here's why you're here. It's because God loves you. You're special to God. You're important. And God has a plan for your life. What about when you go through the valley of the shadow of death? You ever been in a valley? I love the mountains. I love Alaska. I love the wilderness. I guess you got to be built for it. I don't know. You ever been in the mountains at a certain time of the year? And you're in a valley, and that valley's deep, and I love to get down in them. But when the sun comes across, and you're in between those two mountains, you only got a little bit of daylight every day. And sometimes that's the way it is in people's lives. 24 hours a day, but there's only a few hours of the day that they literally can function. I don't know why God's sending this way, but he's sending it for somebody. And David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. What is that? He's saying, I know who my God is, and even when I'm in this valley, he has the ability to take care of me. He has the ability to protect me, and he's given me the things that I need through his mighty power to help me not live down here, but to know how to come out. Amen. Ever walk through that valley? You ever been under a juniper tree? He sees, like he saw the multitude, he sees my hurt. He sees when I need hope, and he sees what I need to heal. What do I need to heal? Sometimes you need instruction or direction. That's why when Paul told Timothy, he was teaching him, he said, you need to rebuke, reprove, and exhort. Sometimes, you know, I've seen preachers, they like that rebuke stuff. That's all they do. Some exhort. They won't preach the truth. That's all they do. Then it says, with all long suffering and doctrine. Learning how to listen to God. Sometimes we just need the word of God to be spoken to us. Now, I'm going to say this. I'm going to try to move. We're about done. Have you ever just opened the Bible and say, Lord, show me something? I have. There's been a few times I'd do that, and I'd go, whoop. I tell you what I did. I was trying not to see the chapter and verse, afraid it'd make me preach on it. That's whoop. Sometimes I tell you we need instruction. Sometimes all you got to do is read it. Sometimes we need comfort. When people are hurting, they need comfort. That's why the scripture says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Sometimes people need a touch. I come in the house of God, I need a touch from God. I tell people, y'all need to be here. You don't need to be here because I'm here. It ain't about me. It's about you being in a place where God can speak to your heart. Where you can have a family, where you can have fellowship, where God can speak to you. I heard a preacher say one time, don't miss the service that actually could be the one that changed your life. Sometimes a touch is from you. If God puts somebody on your heart, might be for a reason. Might be because he wants you to call them, check on them, love them, care for them. And the words that you say may be just a little thing that they need. Sometimes when people need help to heal, here's what they need. And I spoke on this Monday night. It was really on my heart. Sometimes what people need is time. You say, well, why don't they just come down and get it right? You ever lost a 2-year-old to a tragedy? What you gonna tell the mother? Why don't you just go to the altar and give it up? Tell you what you do, you love them. Yes. And you keep loving them. And you keep telling them to come back. And one day, when it's time, God's going to pour out grace on them. Now, what do you mean when it's time? God's got that grace right now. Yes, he does. But you know what sometimes God has to do? God has to prepare the heart to receive that grace. Because we're just flesh and blood, and we live in a temporal house. And we can't see what God sees. That's why the Spirit has to come, and God has to love on them, and you got to love on them. And sometimes when people are in trouble, don't judge them. Give them time and keep loving them.
Amen.
You see, somebody here this morning needs to do business with God. They're going to play a song. I don't know what it is. It don't matter. It's not up to me. You can come to these altars and pray. If you want somebody to come with you, just take somebody by the hand.
Amen.
They may want to come too, and they're just waiting on you. Amen. I'm going to ask them to play this song. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, you need to know him. Because he's real. He's coming. I'm going with him.
Amen.
Question, do you want to go? I'm going.
Amen.
I'm going to have some fun in the meantime. Yes, I am. And I enjoy life without all the garbage.
Amen.
This is our sanctuary, remember?
Amen.
Maybe you're here this morning, you're hurting. You say, well, I don't want nobody to see me. Won't you quit worrying about that?
Come on.
Anybody says, well, so-and-so, did you see so-and-so at the altar this morning? I wonder what's wrong with them. I tell you what, you're right with God. They need to be
Amen.
Down here.
Come on. Yes. Amen.
If God spoke to you this morning for any reasons, we'd play this song. Would you come? Would you do business with God? Let God love on you. Remember, he sees you with compassion. Would you please rise to your feet? You can go ahead and be seated if you'd like. Older I get, the less I like to stand up in church. I believe if we push some recliners in the back, we'll probably get a few more people to come. I'm excited this morning. We've got some people come to join our church.
Amen.
I'm going to ask Randall and Lisa Butts if they would step up. They've been visiting with us for a while. And thank the Lord they've come. They want to join. And we also have Josh Adamson. Josh, you step up. Glad Josh has come. We're glad Lisa and Randall have come. They're all coming by statement of faith. I've talked to all of them before about the church. Of course, they know what the church is like. And I'll tell you what it is. This is a sanctuary.
Amen.
Now, y'all hear me say, better than the Super Bowl. Folks, I feel that way every Sunday. Now, for those of you that don't understand that, here's what it'll be like when you get there. Can you imagine going to the Super Bowl?